Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
And we wanted to chat this morning to Yigal Marcus. He is a senior financial advisor. He is a political analyst, and we wanted to hear from him about this week in Knesset. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu defended his record, arguing that Israel emerges from the Gaza war stronger than ever. He pointed out military resilience, economic indicators, rising foreign investment, and he described this as growing global influence. The claim, of course, is being debated everywhere. Some see it as a necessary assertion of strength in difficult times. Others say it's wishful thinking and are concerned about diplomatic isolation. We wanted to ask Yigal his view on this. Yigal, thanks for joining us. So we wanted to try and understand to what extent Netanyahu's wartime policy really has boosted Israel's standing in the world, and where some of the damage maybe might be found and might be profound. So can we just start with the statement, Israel is stronger than ever? How accurate is this? Sure.
It's very accurate. All you have to do is look around the world and realize that despite Israel's war, our defense industry here is booming. And I think we're only scratching the surface. You know, very few countries are battle-tested like Israel has been, and with 21st century warfare. And so what you find is a country that loves innovation, whose DNA really is innovating and disrupting the industry that it focuses on. And so we are in a very unique position in that the world really has to rearm itself. We're seeing massive increase in defense spending all over the world, especially in Europe. We're seeing it, of course, in the U.S. We're seeing a significant amount of investment being placed. And we're also seeing a lot of Israel's countries that were very quick to boycott Israel during the war, very, very fast rebound in terms of their buying Israeli armaments and Israeli know-how. So I think that Israel really has been placed in the crossroads of the world defense spending, and Israel will be the beneficiary of that. And if you take it one step further, Israel is also one of the leaders in AI. And AI has many different applications around the world, especially in defense, but not only defense. And Israel is very much on the cutting edge in terms of AI development and innovation, and that will bode extremely well. You know, a friend of mine, Michael Eisenberg, who runs a very reputable fund in Israel called Aleph, you know, he said yesterday in a posting on LinkedIn that investing in Israel today is like investing in America in 1850 before the Industrial Revolution. And that, of course, brought, you know, totally changed who Israel was, who America was. And so if you I tend to agree with him. I think that Israel is uniquely positioned now to really take advantage of this. And by the way, it's not just me saying that, but it's also the OECD. And it's also other organizations that have come out and have said that now that the war is over, Israel's future is brighter than ever.
What's fascinating is that we've really seen a war carrying on for this amount of time, specifically for Israel, but also around the world, aside from maybe the Russia-Ukrainian war, where we are seeing complete devastation of the Ukrainian economy, Russia suffering very badly as well. How does the picture look in terms of Israel, as you said, having been through a war that certainly wasn't one that they've ever experienced before?
Yeah, so I think it's a great question. And I think that one of the things that Israel learned from this war is that although the IDF really was designed for short wars, short and powerful wars, that was not the case here. In many cases, you don't have the power to determine the length of a war. And so what we did see was an incredible amount of innovation that was very quickly materialized because of the length of the war. So let me give you an example. Drone defense. One of the Achilles' heels during the war was the amount of drones that were able to successfully penetrate our skies and attack and cause damage literally all over the country. You know, remember Ramon Airport was attacked by a drone up north. It was many drones every single day. And the world is, you know, we see that with Russia and Ukraine, hundreds and hundreds of drones are you know, that's the warfare of the future, because it doesn't cost lives, and you just send a drone and it can be deadly. Israel has developed multiple solutions to drone warfare, and hopefully we don't see it, but the technology that they developed very quickly to neutralize drone warfare. So a major investment of our enemies into drones will likely be neutralized in the next conflict, whether it's a continuation of this conflict or a new conflict. And that's something that everyone's trying to figure out and has not been able to do that. So it's just an example of Israeli innovation saying, you know what, we learned from this, and very quickly we came up with some brilliant solutions to deal with these threats.
One of the areas where there is a concern, and I was listening to a podcast where they referred to this, they said that Israel always might start at the beginning of the war with global sympathy, and as the war carries on, it loses that global sympathy as this media war against Israel continues. This is the longest war, as we mentioned, that Israel's fought, and therefore the damage done on a public, from a public perspective, maybe diplomacy-wise, has been much greater. What's your thought on that?
I think there's some truth to that, in that Israel does not do a good enough job in PR, period. Mm. In retrospect, I think that is one of the great lessons we're going to learn, and it's a very painful lesson. You're always going to have those who hate us, and there's a lot of people who hate us. October 7th, before we even picked up our dead and buried them, and babies and women and who have been raped, and I mean you know all the stories. Mm-hmm. Before we even did that, you had many, many, many people condemning Israel and blaming us for that day of terror, and subsequent. So we have to accept the fact that there's going to be people who hate us and just use something as an excuse to hate us. That being said, you know, I look at America as an example of a more fair environment to test whether Israel is being successful in its PR, and the numbers have not been going our way. Younger Americans who believe the garbage they read on Instagram and TikTok are buying into that, and we're losing that. And so one of the great lessons that we have to learn is that if we're so good at innovating new defense technology, here's a great idea. We have to begin innovating and studying how we win the PR war. I think a lot of that may have to come down to AI because of how ubiquitous the hatred is. And we need more than just human skills to offset it, but I do think that it is one of the great lessons. That's one of the most painful parts of this, is that to many people our reputation has been hurt, and that's something that's going to take a very long time, I think, to replenish.
So just a final reflection in terms of Netanyahu himself and his leadership. Do you think that he, if you were giving him a score on how he has, and this removes, I want to remove the reasons for October the 7th and what led up to it, because let's put that aside, and look at the 2 years in of itself. How has Netanyahu done in terms of managing this war for Israel on all of these different levels, militarily, economically, and diplomatically?
Being Prime Minister of Israel is, I think, the hardest job in the world. I'm not just saying that like tongue-in-cheek. I really believe that. We cannot make mistakes, because if we make a big mistake, a lot of Jews in the Jewish country, in the Jewish homeland, will die. And so it's a very, very hard job. So I give him an enormous amount of credit, on one hand, for withstanding the pressure of the world, for executing a war strategy, for at the end of the day, you know, when the last of our hostages came out of those tunnels, they look around the Middle East and they see, you know, no more Syria, a Hezbollah that has been mostly neutralized, Iran that's been neutralized. You know, it's a different world that they emerge to. And I have to give credit where credit is due to God, first of all, but to his emissary, Benjamin Netanyahu, during the war, and of course, the IDF. Were mistakes made? Absolutely. No question about it. That's why Israel will go back and study and will figure out what was right and what was wrong. But you can't expect anybody to execute a war of this complexity, this existential war against us, and not make mistakes. That's part of being human. Mm-hmm. But I do believe, though, is that Bibi has, you know, withstood the pressure of the world. Had we listened to the world, the Middle East would be exactly as it was on October 6th. Because Bibi was strong, we don't have that world anymore. We have a heavily neutralized enemy group, and as a result, we are safer today, much safer today than we ever have been in recent history. So, you know, everyone makes mistakes.
Right.
But I think that people have to realize that I think he was the right person at the right job. I try to think about this all the time, trying to identify who could have done a better job. And not a single name comes to mind of people in government today. Who could stand in front of the U.S. Congress with the moral clarity? Exactly.
Yigal Marcus, we do need to leave it there. Thank you, as always. Director of Republicans Overseas Israel, financial advisor and principal of Alliance Bernstein.